The gospel account we just heard a moment ago from the Gospel of John is a part of a larger conversation or a longer conversation that Jesus Christ had with Nicodemus. I believe Jesus' teaching must have made a great impression on Nicodemus. He hurried up visits Jesus under the cover of darkness. And that darkness is very symbolic of the dim understanding that he had of Jesus' mission. But as a member of the Sanhedrin, he is also unwilling to risk open support and consultation with Jesus. Therefore, he comes in secrecy, he comes in darkness, that being the insurance for his future career. Jesus' response to his caution is not to add more caution, but to declare boldly that the attitude about God towards the world. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might be saved. And God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And that was true for Nicodemus. And that is true for us. And that will be true for all who believe in Jesus. And so the gospel tells us the relationship that God has with the world is rooted in love. For it is from the radical love of God that the world came to be, and the world receives its dignity, its significance, its importance. And from it all, we also have our dignity, our inalienable dignity. So in spite of sin, in spite of brokenness, in spite of maybe some stupid choices that we sometimes make in life, and that is a part of our human being, our human nature, God still loves us. And his love is not self-protecting. His love is always flowing out and reaching out to all, facing the reality of the world. And that is the truth underlined by the first reading we had today. Moses is held in conversation with God. And Moses admits to the truth that the people are headstrong, with a track record of sins and faults, a litany of sins and faults to their names. But that does not alter the nature of God being a God of tenderness, a God of compassion, slow to anger, rich in kindness and faithfulness. So whatever is at stake, it is not the love of God that is at issue. So God's ceaseless love of the world is so great that he sent his only son amongst us. And the son's faithful love is also so great that he could face the ultimate infidelity, being put to death by those he loved. But God's love survives the death of Jesus. And so he raises his son up, and he sends his Holy Spirit so that you and I can share the very life and love of God. This is the Trinity. So in honoring the Holy Trinity today, we celebrate the awesome stubbornness of God's extravagant love for our world. And if there is anything we all desire in our lives, it is this dependable love. Love that does not withdraw itself in the face of misfortune. A love that sees beyond our weaknesses. A love that sees beyond our ugliness. A love that sees beyond our frailties and still embraces us. And that is authentic love. It sets no limits to the faults. None of us has experienced the fullness of this kind of authentic love. Yes, it is what we love. It is what our whole being yearns for and aspires for. And simply put, I searched for love everywhere. I couldn't find everlasting love. So I gave myself to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful love he gave me. I searched for peace everywhere. I couldn't find everlasting peace. So I gave myself to Jesus Christ. What a wonderful peace he gave me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three persons reveal the fullness of the unity of God's love. And we sometimes experience something of this kind of love when it is communicated to us in very simple ways through people who have been raised by the love of God, by the Spirit of God. And we sometimes meet these people in our lives, sometimes even in our community here. And I'd like to share this story with you. In 2011, I went with a priest friend of mine to Croatia. We had an annual conference for the fraternity of priests. And two of us left Ghana and went there. We had, our visas were not for multiple visits. So having spent the time at the conference in Croatia, some colleagues then organized that we will go to Medjugorje. That means we have to leave Croatia, go into Bosnia and Herzegovina, and to get to Medjugorje for another week. We expressed some concerns that our visas may not permit, but they said, no, it's not a problem. You will go, you see, you go in and you come out and there's no problem. Of course, we decided to pray, and trusting that we're going to do something good, we went off. But as the scripture says, do not put the Lord your God to test. After our period in Medjugorje, we're then returning to Croatia. At about midnight, we reached a border checkpoint. And of course, we had to go through. They checked through all the Croatian priests. They went through, it came to my friend and I, and there was a problem. They pointed out, you don't have permit to re-enter, therefore you cannot. They scrutinized our visas and realized that I had, on top of the Croatian visa, a visa to go to the UK. So they said, okay, you can get in. But my friend, he couldn't get in. So where was he going to stay? That was a problem. So, well, there was no way we could argue with them. So they had to send him somewhere. And I don't even remember. We could only contact him by telephone. And now that he couldn't come into Croatia, that means effectively he had lost his flight to Ghana, because he had to fly from Ghana back to Croatia. And the second thing was that we were supposed to come to Croatia and go into Spain, Madrid, because of the World Youth Day in 2011, Pope Benedict was visiting, and we're supposed to be there. We lost that as well. I'm making this point because the priest didn't assist him to get the ticket to go back to Ghana. And now I was his closest friend, I had to buy a ticket for him. Fortunately, God being so good, there was just enough money. I didn't even realize that after buying the ticket online, it showed that I had only £1 left in my card. That was everything I had. Well, I was happy. At least I could get him back to Ghana. I get back into Croatia, then we'll go to Madrid. after World Youth Day, I'm now going into London. I aborted the plane, went to my seat, and after 2 minutes, a man rises from behind. He comes to my seat and greets me. I greet back, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Ghana." "And where to?" I said, "London." He goes back to his seat. After just 1 minute, he comes back. He puts into my hand 500 euros. That's the equivalent of about $560. He says, "Take this. I'm sure this will help you." If this is not God's love expressed in a concretely through somebody I didn't know and somebody who didn't know me, what else is it? When God's love is communicated to us in very simple ways by people raised by God we meet, we are already living the love of God, which binds the three persons of the Trinity together. We may sometimes not experience it, but definitely we do experience this from the generosity of our parents. Our parents' love, and that is also God's love for us. And it is important for the growth of every child of God. You and I are all children of God. And love is the essential atmosphere for our continued growth. But we are not dispensed. We are to be responsible for playing our part in expanding this love, in sharing this love, in living this love. None of the Trinity retires from the task of loving the world. And so none of us can retire from the task of helping to make our family, to make our community, to make our world a place where God's love gives shape to what happens. That is why St. Paul tells us and encourages the divided church of Corinth. He says, "Be united, live in peace, in the love of God, and peace will be with you."